It's been 4 weeks since our next guest proposed a series of 5 debates with his opponent in the race for the U.S. Senate from Michigan. Democratic Congressman Gary Peters made the proposal he will likely face former Republican Secretary of State Terry Lynn Land in November. And to update us on the debate proposal and to field other questions, Current State welcomes back U.S. Congressman Gary Peters. Congressman, thanks for joining us.
Well, it's great to be with you, Mark. How are you doing this morning?
Just fine, thank you. What, if anything, have you heard back regarding the debates?
We're still waiting to hear back. As you mentioned, we would like to do a number of debates. We've actually accepted 3 debates. We've been invited to debate by Wood TV in Grand Rapids with Grand Valley State. We've been invited to a debate at Michigan State University there in East Lansing. And we've been invited to one at WXYZ down in Detroit. I have already accepted all 3 of those debates, which would be great. We would hope my opponent would do the same, and then I would also like to do a couple more in a couple other media markets, perhaps Traverse City, Flint. So we are out there talking to folks. I think it's critical. This is the first open Senate seat we've had in many, many years. The people of the state of Michigan deserve to hear the candidates stand up on their feet and answer questions and talk about what they're going to do.
I mean, the polling's been encouraging for your campaign. As a practical matter, Congressman, why propose so many debates?
Well, I just think it's just critical that we do that. You know, right now what we're seeing on television is bombarding of out-of-state groups. You know, my opponent has spent close to $10 million in primarily out-of-state billionaires who have been dumping money in this campaign in 30-second sound bites. And you're right, the polling is encouraging. I'm being outspent about 2-1 on the television, yet I'm still up in the polls. But I don't think a race as important as the U.S. Senate in determining who should be the U.S. Senator representing Michigan should not be determined by 30-second sound bites on advertisements, especially from out-of-state groups. It's got to be the candidates talking about issues that are important to Michiganders. The things that I've been hearing is I've been traveling around the state talking to folks from one end to the other and want to stand up and fight for middle-class families.
I want to ask you about the border situation, the border crisis. President Obama has proposed spending over $3 billion on measures to deal with this wave of unaccompanied minors that have overwhelmed border authorities, mostly in Texas. The money would be earmarked to the detention, care, and transportation of these thousands of would-be immigrants, mostly from Central America. What do you make of the president's proposal?
Well, we certainly got to deal with the issue, and the president stepping up and saying we've got to deal with this crisis. We've got these minors coming across the border, and we've got to make sure that we continue to maintain our border integrity, and but we need to get these children back to where they came from. But that takes resources in order to do it. It's certainly unprecedented, but we've got to maintain the border security.
You support the $3 billion figure there, that proposal?
Yeah, I'm still reviewing that as to whether or not I'll support that figure, but certainly additional resources are going to be necessary.
A number of causes have been mentioned for this wave of immigrants who are simply showing up at the border. What is your understanding for the spike in these arrivals recently?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, people obviously are looking for better opportunities and looking for their children and see that in the United States. And we are going to be that beacon as long as other economies, particularly South America and Central America, are struggling. Folks seek what they believe to be better opportunities. I think that's the question.
Is it primarily instability back home, though? I mean, there have been a number of scenarios brought up here.
Well, I think that certainly contributes to it. You know, it's all of those factors that people look to the United States. And the United States has always been a beacon for people. It's throughout history. Folks have come to this country in order to build their life for themselves, for their families, to seek the American dream. And certainly we need to take a good hard look at immigration policy. You know, I'm supportive of immigration reform. We've got a lot of issues that have to be dealt with. And one of my frustrations here in the Congress is we haven't been able to pass bipartisan immigration reform. I support the proposal that passed out of the U.S. Senate. It passed in a bipartisan way. Both Democrats, Republicans came together to deal with issues surrounding our immigration policy in this country. Unfortunately, the Republican majority in the House won't even put it on the floor. I'm confident we'd likely see those reforms if we put it on the floor, but we've got a Republican majority that simply does not want to even allow a vote on it.
What might break that deadlock, in your view?
Well, it's hard to say. I can't get into the head of Republican leadership as to why they don't want to put it on the floor, but I think they are concerned about Tea Party far right-wing elements within their party, and they believe that they're going to be punished if they support immigration reform, but I don't think that's the place where most Americans are. Most Americans, like myself, are somewhere around the center and just want to do some practical problem solving, fix problems, get things done. But unfortunately, we've got a far right wing ideology that tends to dominate the Republican leadership in the U.S. House.
Congressman Gary Peters is our guest here on WKAR's Current State. Back to the campaign here, Congressman. The Detroit News reported yesterday that your opponent, Terry Lynn Land, has in the past been part of the family real estate business, Land and Company, but now she denies it, possibly to distance herself from family wealth. Are you following this situation?
Well, I saw the story yesterday in the paper. I read it briefly. I just think it is curious that she talked about being part of Land and Company, her family business, which was started by her grandfather and her father, and now she's saying she had nothing to do with it and never worked there, and as if there's something to hide. I'm not so sure what's going on there, so we'll have to follow it more closely.
You said at the Mackinac Policy Conference that improving Michigan's economy is job one. Proponents of the Keystone XL pipeline claim there would be a number of economic stimuli that would result from it, not necessarily for Michigan directly, but certainly for the larger U.S. economy. Are you willing to concede that there would be some economic and political advantages to going forward with Keystone XL?
Well, my concern about Keystone XL from day one has always been to make sure that if it's done, it's done with the proper environmental protections. You've got a pipeline that's going to be carrying Canadian oil to the international market around the world, and it's going to cross the United States. And as it crosses the United States, it puts communities at risk with a pipeline. Those of us in Michigan should be fully aware of the potential risk given the Enbridge pipeline break we had in the Kalamazoo area, which was carrying Canadian tar sands oil. I think it's the most expensive pipeline break in U.S. history in Michigan. In fact, we're still cleaning up. Years later, we're still working on the cleanup from that spill. So I certainly think the folks in Nebraska and other states in which this is going to traverse to have a say to make sure that they are putting in place the safeguards necessary for their local residents. And I'm also concerned, quite frankly, about Petco. I dealt with Petco in Detroit, which is the residual from Canadian tar sands. So it's considered the dirtiest of the dirtiest fuels. About a third of every barrel of Canadian tar sands oil contains this Petco. It was piled up along the Detroit River. It was blowing into people's homes, into their lungs. It was running into the Great Lakes. And I've proposed legislation to make sure we have best practices in handling this material and, quite frankly, finally get a better understanding of the potential public health risk associated with it.
Some environmentalists, though, claim that pipelines, back to the Keystone situation, some environmentalists even claim that pipelines are environmentally preferable to rail transport, which is expanding. What do you make of that argument?
Well, certainly we've got to make sure that we safeguard the environment for rail, and there are certainly concerns with rail as well. We've had some rail disasters up in Canada that we have to tighten some safety regulations. We've got old cars that are carrying petroleum that are not meeting the standards that we should expect. So certainly I don't know if it's either or. We're likely to use both. You're going to have both pipelines and rail. That is the reality of what we deal with. But let's make sure we're doing it in an environmentally sound way. I've never believed that there's this false choice between safe environment and the economy. I really do believe you can do both. You can do what's good for the economy, but at the same time safeguard our environment, whether it's by rail car or pipeline. But the fact that we have some issues with rail cars should not be a rush to judgment on a pipeline. That should not be the excuse for that.
Congressman Gary Peters is our guest here on Current State. Billionaire climate activist Tom Steyer contributed $100 million to the Senate majority PAC that supports the election of Democrats to the Senate. You've benefited, at least indirectly, from that. How do you respond to critics who allege that your campaign's being partially bankrolled by a very wealthy partisan activist?
Well, I don't know those linkages there, and I don't think that number is accurate at all. I don't think that's all what's gone into the Senate majority PAC. But having said that, what he's contributed to the Senate Majority PAC, I'm not aware of the amounts that he's contributed, and it's hard to comment on that. But I think it really leads to what I think is the issue here, whether it's Tom Steyer or whether it's the Koch brothers who are dumping. We know for a fact they've already put in $6.5 million in Michigan, an unprecedented amount of money in support of my opponent and her anti-middle class agenda. So I think the focus is that we've got too much money in politics from these outside billionaires, whether they're from whatever side they're on, which is why we have to have comprehensive campaign finance reform. There's way too much money in politics. It's going to be a focus of mine in the U.S. Senate is to make the system work better and fair and try to get all this big special interest money out of it. But it's also a reason why I'm pushing for debates. It's like, let's move beyond these TV ads and radio ads and other types of ads that are being put on the air, and let's have good old-fashioned debates where the people of the state of Michigan can take a look at both candidates standing on their feet, talking about issues that they care about, talking about issues that people in the state of Michigan care about, and who's going to be that champion fighting for middle-class families in the United States Senate. That's why it's even more incumbent, with all of this money slushing around, it's even more important that we have these kinds of debates, and that's why I would hope my opponent would be willing to do this, and it's unfortunate she's trying to hide and just let big money speak for her.
The Supreme Court's Hobby Lobby decision generated an awful lot of response across the country. What did you make of it?
Well, I was very disappointed by that decision. Fundamentally, I believe that women should make the choice for their health decisions and their reproductive health decisions. Those are women's decisions and not their employer.
Congressman Gary Peters will likely face Terry Lynn Land this November for Michigan's open U.S. Senate seat. First time it's been opened open in about 20 years or so. Congressman Peters, good luck. We'll have you back. Thank you.
Well, it's great to be with you, Mark. Take care.